You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. It's an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange over there on Bearden Hill. And perhaps you have to exchange your phone after you smashed it on the ground in anger Saturday. It's understandable. These things happen. Going up to the Phone Exchange, they'll take great care of you. If your phone's salvageable, they might even pay you for it. Might even buy you for it. Hey, you know, it could be a net positive. You never know. The Phone Exchange, Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco. Tell them The Drive sent you. Let's get Bear in here. Good afternoon, Bear. What's going on?
Not a lot, Russ. Just hanging in there, trying to maintain my little bit, the last shred of sanity I've got.
Picking up the pieces.
It was pretty much a complete disaster as far as sports went on the weekend, except for my Rangers beating Drew Celtics over the weekend.
Oh,
other than that, it was a complete disaster.
It was rough. We had the Titans. Winners win. We will celebrate victory. It's good to have one team in my life that gives me joy, that's fun, that fills me with anticipation and not dread. But perhaps we'll get to that later. Trey Wallace, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I mean, I'm okay. I'm good, I guess. I don't know.
Hey. Trey, I've been through this a couple of times the past 10 years with coaches on the hot seat, Tennessee football in crisis, whatever you want to call it. And so I've seen this movie before. If the stuff that we're hearing behind the scenes is accurate.
Yes.
Tennessee football is in a really bad place. And
absolutely.
And of course we've got Bama coming in here this week. It's rough. Guys, I want to start with this first take here, and then we'll get some phone calls. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is already on hold. And to the victor go the spoils. I'm not gonna wuss out, man. I'm gonna let him take his victory lap here. But
how much time are you giving him?
I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, the usual. And we'll hey,
the line.
It's like, listen, man, Kentucky fans, Matt Jones took me for a ride on Twitter last night. Whatever, they won, man. It's their first time since the Reagan administration went into Neyland Stadium. Like, you remember how awful I was to them 2 years ago when they had their best team and we beat them? Like, if you can't dish it out, or if you can't take it, don't dish it out. So, whatever, I'm bring it on. But here's where I'm at today, and you guys tell me what you think. Guys, we got to save this guy.
Save who?
Jeremy Pruitt. We got to save him, man.
I agree.
We can't. There's nowhere to go, man. He's got like a $15 million buyout. We don't have the money anymore. It's 2020. It's COVID. Philip Fulmer said before the season he's projecting $30 to $40 million in losses this fiscal year. $30 to $40 million.
I mean, is he going to finally listen to us, Russell? We've been trying to help this guy out for a couple of years.
I don't know. And I say we, like, I don't know who that is. It's obviously not us. Like, we can't. We, the Tennessee Nation, Coach Fulmer obviously would play a huge role in this. Those close to him, T. Martin. I don't know. You get Peyton involved. Desperate times call for desperate measures, but all I know is this guy ain't going anywhere, man. You can't fire him. I don't think you can fire him next year either. In this economic environment, what's about to happen, what is happening to this country, what's about to happen to this country.
What they just did at Tennessee today and yesterday, spending $1.35 million.
And listen, man, we got to save this guy. And I don't know. I'm all ears. Yeah, I wish in a perfect world we could just kick him to the curb and finally go hire a competent, well thought of, well established slam dunk home run hire of a head coach. I'm telling you, it's not possible, man. I don't know. Maybe we win the lottery or something. I just don't see it. I think this guy's going to be your coach for at least two more seasons, if not longer. And we can't just suffer through it, man. He's got to excel. He's got to get better. He's got to improve. And it starts by learning that the guy he's trotting out there at quarterback, and this is not going to be a Garantano bash fest. We have done that for 3 years now. This is on Jeremy Pruitt. The number one thing he has to do before anything else, he can fire his defensive line coach if that makes him feel better. He can fire the O-line coach. That make you feel better. He can fire Chris Winkie. He can fire Jim Chaney. He can do whatever he wants to do. But until he sees that he needs to fix his quarterback position because it's the most important position on the field, my six-year-old son knows that, then everything else is moot. You don't have a quarterback. It's 2020. You got to go score points, man. Can't turn the ball over. So
I don't know that it's we don't have a quarterback. We've got one that he's married to for God knows what reason. It's not obvious to us, but there seems to be a definite lack of development of the kids behind him. And it's some stuff happened that, quite frankly, makes me wonder how fair of a shake some of these guys on the depth chart are getting.
Trey, you're with me. We can't go coach hunting again right now, can we?
Absolutely not.
We got to save this guy.
No, you can't do it. First of all, you just can't do it right now in this economy and the way all athletic departments are shaped. Second of all, SC can't start over again right now, man. They just can't, period. You start over now, you're risking the next 20 years of Tennessee football. And I just don't see that. It's not going to happen, first off. Okay. Second off, I just don't feel it would be the right thing to do. I don't agree with how it went down yesterday with Jimmy Brumbaugh. I think it was a little bit crazy, and we'll get into that. We're in a spot right now, Tennessee fans are, you guys are, where it's not going to get better until they decide they've got to suck up their pride, throw it away, and do what's best for the university, Russ.
We got to take our medicine. We got to figure out a way to get through to this guy. He's got to grow up, man. He has got to grow the hell up. You're not standing next to Nick Saban anymore. You don't have a locker room full of five-star talent. People are looking to you for leadership right now, and you can't just look at, well, we done a good job. Like, no, you didn't done a good job, Jeremy. You're screwing it up, man. You're screwing it up. And the only reason you're going to get to keep your $4 million a year job after this year is because we're going through a once-in-a-hundred-years pandemic. And the university about to take a bath, and people are out of work. But we just gave you a big raise, and we let you scapegoat Jimmy Brumbaugh. I was in a good spot until about 10 minutes ago when the show started, man. I'm right back to Saturday Night Voluntary Reaction level pissed off right now.
Well, if we want to get into it, we'll get into it, because I've been told by multiple people Jeremy Pruitt did not go into the office yesterday with the intentions of firing Jimmy Brumbaugh.
Wow.
So what the hell happened?
Wow.
How do you fire Brumbaugh?
He watched the game film twice.
Wow. Oh. All right. This is going to be a hell of a Rocky Top report brought to you by the Kregner Group coming up here in just a minute. But let's go ahead. All right, TJ, bring him in. TJ, the Kentucky fan, up first today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, TJ?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Pretty rough weekend with the Braves. Been a Braves fan all my life. Hate that they can't get past the 95 World Series, man. I mean, it just seems like they're stuck there. The Titans, that's good. Hopefully we don't lose Taylor Lewan, but that's not looking hopeful.
No.
But I just want to say one thing. You know, 8 years ago, Tennessee and Kentucky made a coaching change. Kentucky hired Mark Stoops, and I think Tennessee hired Butch Jones. I will say Tennessee has always been above Kentucky in football. They have higher expectations. You guys are a respected program with national championships and big bowl game wins. But at this point, 8 years later, I think Mark Stoops has done more at Kentucky than any coach has at Tennessee with what they have. Would you agree with this?
I mean, you guys got a really solid coach, and he's grown on the job too. I mean, he didn't set the world on fire his first couple of years there, but he's built it, and y'all are more patient than us, and the expectations are lower and everything. But he's done a really nice job recruiting, and he's got nice players and a nice scheme. His quarterback situation might be worse than ours, but he's been able to manage that and put together a unit that's functional out there. So, Mark Stoops, he's beaten us twice now. He's earned it both times, and we deserved it. Kicked our ass Saturday.
I listened to your show Saturday night, all 3 hours. It was a great show.
Wow.
I laughed a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but I'm not going to rub it in because I know that I have 363 days until next year to enjoy this win. Hopefully we can beat you guys next year in Kroger Field, Commonwealth Stadium, as I call it, because, you know, grocery store, that's stupid. But it was a good game, and, hopefully both teams can improve going on. Hopefully we get a win against Missouri, and then, I don't know, just show up halfway against Georgia.
All right, TJ, appreciate it, man. Congrats on the win. You guys handed it to us on our own field.
Yeah, buddy. Have a go.
TJ is much classier than we were.
You know why?
Last year before.
Because they really don't care about football up there.
I think he also knows that we're going to get him twice in basketball this year.
Yeah,
and playing it safe.
What they really care about.
It's a heady move. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll get your Rocky Top report. The inside story on what that went down with Jimmy Brumbaugh yesterday. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report. Brought to you by the Craigner Group. Tennessee returns to the practice field last night. They did that scrimmage thing a little bit. But the big news was who was not at practice last night, and that was defensive line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh, fired by Jeremy Pruitt, less than a year on the job. He lasted 4 games. Trey, what happened?
Do we count COVID and everything else? I mean, he only had about 6 weeks of actual practice time with his players. So this is what I was told through a couple sources, that Jeremy Pruitt and them got the facility that morning, you know, yesterday morning, and watched some film, broke it down with players, broke it down with coaches, and then held a staff meeting with defensive coaches where he fired Jimmy Brumbaugh. And I was told this, multiple people, that it wasn't his intention to come in. And he's threatened to fire every assistant coach on that staff multiple times. I was told he threatened to fire Winky on the sidelines that just out of frustration.
It's not a real stable guy.
He should have.
But there have been problems with Jimmy Brumbaugh and Jeremy Pruitt for since fall camp. It's different because Tracy Rocker was what? Tracy Rocker was a get-in-your-face, yell-at-you type of coach. He's going to try to get the most out of it. Jimmy Brumbaugh was different. Jimmy Brumbaugh was, I'm not going to get in your face, not going to use the F-word every single phrase, but going to try to get the most of you out of my way. The philosophies, as Jeremy Pruitt said, they didn't match. Well, it's just the personality of Jimmy Brumbaugh that didn't match. So I was told that after they watched film twice yesterday, Jeremy Pruitt got so agitated that he fired Jimmy Brumbaugh. And that's how it went down. That's just what I, according to my source.
Yeah. So you're Jeremy Pruitt. You're a defensive guy. You're a defensive coordinator, defensive head coach. That's your deal. You run off. You basically run off Tracy Walker, right? I mean, that's what happened. They ran him off. They thought they could get younger, more dynamic recruiter, and
the same thing with Rump.
Yeah, they thought they could improve that position, and maybe they did. Maybe Shelton Felton is an improvement over Rump. But okay, you run off Tracy Walker. You go hire a new guy. Why'd you hire the guy? You not sit down with him in an interview process, ask him what his philosophy was, ask him if he's a fiery guy on the practice field? Will you get in your player's face and dog cuss him if that's what's required to motivate him? Like, did you? Because this guy was making $650,000 a year for a two-year deal. And by the way, this is the way we do things at UT now. What did you get him for? Well, last year he was at Colorado where he made $175,000. So we basically quintupled this guy's salary. He's making $175,000 at Colorado. You couldn't just go to him and say, "We'll pay you $275,000. We'll give you a $100,000 raise to come coach in the SEC at Tennessee." No, because we just like to set money on fire here. We just gave him over $500,000 without vetting him, apparently, without knowing who the guy was.
No, we didn't, Russell. You're doing your math wrong again, buddy. We're going to end up paying this guy close to $1.3 million for working
for four games
during the pandemic time. Four games and, you know, basically what, like 6, 7, 8 months tops?
Yeah.
And we got and ran off two good, what I would have considered really solid, like upper-tier SEC-level assistant coaches. Chris Rump, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not just our defensive line that we've had a drop-off. You know, we lose Chris Rump, and all of a sudden, you know, I mean – one of our biggest problem spots on our defense is our linebackers' inability to cover.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, at the time we're thinking, okay, we got to get players, which is still the case, but we're thinking we're going to get younger, more dynamic on the recruiting trail, right? Brumbaugh's younger. Felton's younger. We're going to get them. They're going to connect with guys. We need to find another Niedermeyer. How many times did we say that last fall? And that's what we thought we did. Where are they? Where are the 4 and 5 star recruits? Why did we just run off Tracy Rocker, who's kind of a legend, Outland Trophy winner, All Pro, NFL guys, been in this league forever, coaching D line. We ran that guy off to just set a bunch of money on fire. Like, what did we get out of it? A couple 3 star commitments.
You got nothing but all, and this goes on too. We're going to take this Rocky Talk segment a couple more minutes because I still have more to say about this when it comes to last night, what happened at practice as well, and who was running the ones at quarterback last night, and who was running during the scrimmage. But the last thing I'll say on the Brumbaugh thing is you hire him to come in and try something. And you also have to remember Derek Ansley coached with Brumbaugh for 3 years at Kentucky.
It's his guy, yeah.
Right.
So that's why they hired him. That's a critical part of all this is that was Ansley's guy. He's going to match up scheme-wise, and so that's a whole nother thing too. I mean, what is the Pruitt-Ansley relationship like right now?
Yeah, and I just don't think everybody doesn't mesh on a coaching staff.
Sure.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt and Jimmy might have not have meshed. I can tell you three other coaches that don't mesh with Jeremy Pruitt on that staff. But you don't wake up on a Sunday morning and you don't go to meetings. And this is just my personal opinion. not how I would run things. And you watch some tape, and I guess you glossed over the 7 turnovers in the last 2 games. And yes, they have not got a lot out of their defensive line, but let's not forget this too. Aubrey Solomon was in quarantine. Darrell Middleton was dealing with some health issues that nobody really knows about that actually could have affected his life. And he's back on the field. He didn't get much time in practice. You're only rolling with Matthew Butler and Latrell Bumpus, and you're just not getting enough out of the guys. It's not like they haven't been coached up. So I think this is what they should have done. If you wanted to get him that bad off the field, you go put him up in an office and you just make him recruit and make phone calls all day. He can draw up schemes if you want to, but you don't go out and waste that much money, and you don't just fire a guy just to fire a guy on a Sunday afternoon. That's my opinion. You can get him off the field.
We do need to get back to these phones. Trey, anything, any other like depth chart or practice notes, injury notes, or anything from the field last night?
Yeah, Jeremy Banks is still out right now dealing with an ankle injury. They did do an MRI. I'm waiting to hear what those results were. Not like he practiced last night. Wanye and Jerome Carvin should be back. Wanye's day-to-day, according to Jeremy Pruitt. And I might as well say this as we go out. Last night, JG was running with the ones during practice, and I already knew it, but Jeremy Pruitt confirmed that Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer were the quarterbacks that participated in the scrimmage, which only went about 15 to 18 minutes last night.
Who starts at quarterback against Alabama?
Jerry Garantano.
God almighty. It's inevitable, dude.
That's my opinion.
It's my opinion.
On a dark desert highway.
Did you hear Pruitt
cold
today?
Wind in my hair. We've lost Bear. He's cracked up. He's gone mad. We're going to take Bear to the funny farm. He's going to be in a straitjacket in a rubber padded room just talking. JG, Hotel Garantano.
We're in hell.
Oh! Not funny, man.
JT Trout, I've been told by multiple people, was actually demoted last night.
Well, I mean, he got to
Why
throw
the hell a pa- they demote him? He didn't throw 2 pick sixes.
I got no idea.
He came in.
That poor kid.
He got behind the sticks. There was a horrendous dumbass penalty. We got in 2nd and 25, and he made a boneheaded decision. He would tell you that. I guarantee it right now. But he gets demoted.
Let's also not forget his receiver slipped on the play, too.
That's your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Online at BoKnowsHouses.com. Let Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group help you find your next home. BoKnowsHouses.com. You can call Bo direct to set up a free consultation. 865-742-1035. 742-1035. Bo Craigner, the Craigner Group, real estate the right way. Willie is next. Good afternoon, Willie.
Guys, y'all hear any of that idiot's press conference today?
Yeah, I listened to it.
What's the first thing that popped into your mind when he made that War Daddy board?
The War Daddy board?
Yeah, did you not hear that?
What kind of Butch Jones bullcrap is that, Jeremy Pruitt? The War Daddy
board. That's Barb's Chip Dip Player of the Week level of stupidity.
The War Daddy board? Like, what?
Thank you, Doug.
Tell me, what exactly is a War Daddy? Can somebody define that?
That's a board that they have in the office for if you do something good in the game, you get points up on the board. You get recognized.
That's cool. My kindergartner has the same thing going on right now where they get stars. And at the end, if you get 20 stars, you get to draw a prize from the prize bin. They'll get like some crowns or a little plastic soldier or something like that. We call it the War Daddy board, though. That's pretty cool, Willie.
Dubsy, hey, Dubsy, you're reading my mind. The first thing that popped into my head when I heard that comment was Butch Jones. I just thought of Butchie Boy. And his turnover trash can.
Absolutely ridiculous.
How did we get here again, Willie? Why? It's Groundhog Day, man. We hire them, we fire them, we hire them, we fire them. Time is a flat circle. All these guys are the same. Where do we find these guys?
If I didn't know better, I think whoever hired him was riding through Alabama and had to take a dump, pull over to the rest area, and they found him in the rest area.
We got to save him, man. We can't just toss him to the – we can't put him in the trash heap with Butch and Dooley. We got to figure out
– my favorite person of the week, and I guess the entire season, is Jimmy Brumbaugh. Because my guess is Brumbaugh is probably the only assistant coach over there that had the nads to stand up to him about his sorry quarterback.
Jimmy Brumbaugh turned Jeremy Pruitt's wreck into a check.
Hey, and here's the thing about it. I mean, anybody that knows anything about football knows that our problem is not on the defensive side of the ball. It's on the offensive side of the ball. Chaney and Friend and Tinky and Winky and Friend need to go.
I mean, firing your D-line coach when you have a claw fence level bad offense is like, it's kind of like the captain of the Titanic, Willie, firing his kitchen chef as the boat is starting to sink. It's like, dude, yeah, the souffle might have collapsed. The roast duck might have been a little dry. But, bro, we're taking on water here. The band is playing. They're filling up the lifeboats. What are you doing?
And after that goal line stand at the defensive line, put up down there in Georgia.
It's like one of the one units that actually hasn't been a complete and total embarrassment, but okay, whatever. Oh, man, how did we get here again?
When's the first basketball game? Because I'm old as football season. I don't think we win four games. I think we might beat Vanderbilt.
Willie, thank you. Got to move along. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. The Drive continues. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Garantano. Such a lonely place. Overreaction Monday, presented by the Photo Exchange, continues on the Drive. Buster is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Buster.
Hello,
hello there.
Amigos.
Hey, ¿qué pasa?
All right. First, let's talk about the Braves. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I think I should, since you glossed over it without the other drama.
You glossed over it. No, I didn't actually gloss over it, Buster. I did not mention it. On purpose, really? We're going to have to relive that one? Why don't you just stick a shiv in Drew's side right now? Yeah, try and pierce his liver while you're at it. The Braves.
Breaks my heart. I didn't watch any of it. I saw we were behind 3-2.
Total debacle.
Saturday, I could not listen to the after reaction because I was still working. Uh-huh. I don't have the app. But this morning I found it on the cloud. And everybody, the listeners of our great station, please go to it. The first 2 hours is really, really awesome. With Brett and talking about Russell wanted to go with a new coach. I thought he was going to say Phil Fulmer. And then he went the other direction. And then
here's the thing, Buster and Bear. We can't. And Trey's on board with me here. The voluntary reaction is fine. We rage out Saturday night and talk about, what if we go get Hugh Freeze? Oh, let's throw a bunch of money at Urban Meyer. Oh, let's get another young up-and-comer. Like, none of that's going to happen, man. This is your coach.
I agree.
We're married to this guy, man. And we can't get a divorce, right?
We got to make it work.
We got to find a way. We got to go to couples counseling. We got to start writing down our feelings and we got to work through it and find a quarterback and make this work somehow, because we're stuck with the dude. He ain't going nowhere, Buster.
University of Tennessee needs to really look after me next year, because I really like to get a year off next year. Since I gave him my money, I don't have a donation involved, but I'm looking forward to $14,000. Just let me have a year off next year. Let me come back at 2022. But it really breaks my heart what went down. I started working at my delivery company in 85 of March, and they asked me how long I've been there, and I always said, well, when's the last time Tennessee lost to Kentucky? And then we lost under Dooley, and then and now we lost again right after I got my job there. So it's tough. It's tough Kool-Aid. They did what they had to do. And other than that, go to the podcast, guys and gals. Listen to the first 2 hours. It's good stuff. Anyway, have a good show.
Thank you, Buster. Appreciate it. Portion of the show today brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Sports betting is almost here. That'll be good. FanDuel Sportsbook, giving users $50 in free bets just to go ahead and sign up early. That's right, $50 in site credit, FanDuel Sportsbook, to register and verify early. No deposit is required. It's free money. It's sitting there. It's waiting on you. Get it now. FanDuel, America's number one sports betting site. They've got odds on all the biggest sports. They got Monday Night Football, whatever you want to get into, and they pay out quickly in as little as 24 hours. So go get the app right now. It's simple. It's intuitive. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. Sign up and register using promo code DRIVE1. That's DRIVE, the number one, so they know we sent you, and you verify your account. You get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1 to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Got to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Got a gambling problem? Call Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Bear, your thoughts on Buster's call.
It usually takes me a while to completely dissect a Buster call and figure out exactly what he was saying. I'm a little stumped by tough Kool-Aid at this point, Russ. I've never heard that.
Trey, any thoughts?
A colloquialism before.
I felt like I got lost around the second verse of that call.
Let's get Buster. Be fair though. He's been in the hotel Garantano for 3 years. He's
starting. Absolutely, he can't check out. He's tired of.
He's starting to crack up a little bit. DR Vol is next. Hello, DR Vol.
Hey guys, I didn't know if I wanted to be called DR Vol or DR Titan after this weekend.
Titans! Winners win, cool. DR Vol. Winners
Amen.
Win.
Amen. What a win. My God, what a game. You know, with what y'all were saying about, I almost called him Butch, Pruitt, over there wanting to fire everybody on the sidelines constantly. I mean, that sounds just like Butch Jones. I remember criticizing him over that. Like, he just constantly threatened to fire people. I mean, God, the ship's sinking, man. I was just at my desk sitting looking at the picture of me and my kids at the Gator Bowl and thinking how awesome that was. And, God, that was 10 months ago, and it's falling apart. That's something that never ceases to amaze me at this school is, boy, we can build it up. We just fall apart that quick.
Well, here's the thing. And I know Winky is a convenient target. Bear doesn't like him, and that's fine. It's whatever. But, Trey, you've got sources close to the situation. Did Chris Winkie send JT Shroud in there Saturday afternoon? Did Chris Winkie call the play and JT Shroud threw the pick? Did he make that call?
No.
Oh. Did Chris Winkie decide to put Jarrett Garantano back into the game after Shroud threw the pick?
I can confirm that as a no.
Did Chris Winkie decide that they were going to bypass Brian Maurer, even though he had been third team all week, and go straight to Harrison Bailey, even though he hadn't practiced specifically for the game? He was running scout team. Did Chris Winkie decide to do that?
No, he didn't.
So why is Jeremy Pruitt threatening to fire Chris Winkie on the sideline?
Maybe because he just is aggravated with the whole quarterback situation, and he felt like trying to take it off on somebody. I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that.
I would suggest he look in the mirror, DR Vol.
I agree. I mean, it's obvious he's still got that defensive coordinator mindset. Like, dude, the only thing working is our freaking defense right now. Our offense just looks god-awful. You're going to fire Brumbaugh? If I'm Brumbaugh, I'm sending him like a holiday ham, thanking him, because I get to go sit on my butt and get paid.
Look, and I'm not taking up for Winky. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that firing him, do we think that firing him is going to fix anything? I mean, the player development, that position has obviously not been good. But he's been there with you since day one. You got $1.5 million a year to throw at Jim Chaney to lure him here from Georgia. This is on you, dude. This starts at the top.
I mean, I don't think we need to fire him, but I'm out on him.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Ball. Here, I wanted to add something to your call. Here's my biggest thing as well, in talking with some folks. Why in the world are they using JT Shroud as a stopgap between Garantano? Like, I don't get that part. Why are you putting that kid through all this type of mess? I mean, I don't quite understand the usage of the quarterbacks. I don't understand why you would think, okay, I'm going to let JT go in. He's going to hand it off once, and then he's going to throw to the far side of the field when he had an open receiver, but he made a mistake. He made a mistake, and he never sees the field again, even when they yank Garantano later in the game. Like, you've been working JT at two for all of fall camp and preseason practice.
Sorry to cut you off here, Trey, but is interesting about that is we've seen Garantano make that interception that Shroud's made, you know, countless times. From a poor decision-making standpoint, we've seen him make that play probably at least a dozen times, if not more, during his career. We've seen Shroud, he had the bad pick against UAB. I think that was a batted ball. I don't even know how much that was on him. And then Saturday was obviously, that was a bad decision, a bad throw all the way around. I get the feeling that's the last we'll ever see of JT Shroud. I think you feel that. I feel that. We all feel that. It's not the last we'll see of Garantano. How many
Or Bailey or Maurer.
How do you get that many opportunities? And why does this poor Shroud kid, and I don't think he's necessarily the answer for Tennessee, but he gets yanked. They can't wait to yank him. They can't wait to scapegoat him. And yet the guy who sucked for 3 years, they're going to run him back out there Saturday against Alabama. And we all know what's going to happen, except for the head coach.
Let him get an opportunity to make up for his mistake. The game was over. Like, and here's how I look at it. Okay, you're dying to get Harrison Bayless some playing time, and I know we're up against it. But why not let JT Shroud go back out there in the fourth quarter near the end of the third and try to make up for what happened? Give him some reps. If you thought of him that high, here's how I'll end this. If you thought of him that highly for him to be the two to go in when JG's yanked, why would you not think of him that highly in the third and fourth quarter to let him go back out there when he's put all that time into the program and has been around for fall camp and preseason?
What about my dude Maurer? We can't find him with a search warrant this year. He showed he could play a little bit, and he just gets passed over. And we're all interested in Bailey, but I mean, just the mismanagement of the quarterback position is kind of a microcosm of the Jeremy Pruitt era so far.
Yeah.
D.R. Vol, we got to run, man. Anything else?
You know who JT reminds me of? He reminds me of Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. No matter how many times he tries to kill himself and let it end, he can just keep doing it and it keeps coming back for more. Y'all have a good day.
I was really surprised that they didn't. That was the one thing that shocked me probably more than anything is we did not see Maurer on Saturday.
Somebody told me Maurer was so desperate to see the field that he went to the offensive coaching staff and asked to be put on the scout team just where he can see reps. I'm not joking around when I say that.
I like that, dude.
You always have, haven't you?
I was, and I was emotional and immature and maybe a little inebriated Saturday night in voluntary reaction. I think I made some disparaging. I basically just burned everything down, including Maurer. I called him immature, but I still love him. Yeah, take the give me some Maurer power this Saturday, man. I'm game. At least he can run around, and make something happen. You know, with our offensive line with all the cracks in the TVA dam. We're going to need somebody who can move a little bit back there. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Coming up Friday, I want to thank our friends at Terrapin Beer Company for providing some much, much needed relief to our fan base this fall. They're going to be sponsoring Voluntary Reaction this week. And you're going to need some Terrapin beer, I'm afraid, this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. A little something to take the edge off, shall we say, because the edge might be especially sharp. They got the Hopsecutioner, some really good IPAs. We're going to be at Hops and Hollers on Friday doing the show live. Outdoors on the stage there. It looks like rain on Saturday, but we should be good Friday. So we're going to do this responsibly. It's going to be a socially distanced remote. We're going to be outside. You want to come by and dap us up? That's cool, man. We haven't done one of these in a long time, so I'm excited about it. Let's see if we can.
Where is this taking place?
Hops and Hollers.
When?
Friday.
This Friday?
Yes, Bear, this
I'm
Friday.
4 weeks from now.
We're getting a head start on this
I'm
one, man.
Question. I'm sorry. I had to.
I mean, I heard remote, and then the next thing I know, we're talking about being on remote.
Yeah.
Terrapin Hollers.
Terrapin Beer Company hooking it up this week.
Keg stands.
Love Terrapin Beer Company. We're going to have some specials on some of their stuff out there And again, we're going to need it this week. So come on by, get your tailgate set up, courtesy of our friends at Terrapin. And we'll have some prizes to give away and stuff like that. But looking forward to Friday. And Voluntary Reaction Saturday, 7 o'clock or so, presented by Terrapin Beer Company. It should be interesting, shall we say. Jeff is up next. Good afternoon, Jeff. You're on The Drive.
Guys, greetings from beautiful Columbia, South Carolina.
I was born in Columbia, South Carolina, Jeff.
I was there 3 weeks ago. Nice place.
I definitely enjoy my time here, especially when I'm getting to spend it with this young hottie right beside me. So
okay. Very good.
Well, guys, as I was sitting in my recliner watching Neyland Stadium slide into the feces filled Tennessee River on Saturday.
Ugh.
I couldn't help but think to myself, if there's any fan base in America that can recognize a boob as a head coach, it would be the Tennessee fan base.
What's that supposed to
mean? And this guy's a boob.
We do unfortunately have some experience in boob recognition. What gave it away to you? At what point did you think this guy was a boob, Jeff?
It started 2 years ago with a blowout loss at Vanderbilt. It continued with the most embarrassing loss in my lifetime to a Georgia State team last year. Now, keep in mind, I was also in the stands when Bob Garman got a punt blocked in the north end zone and we got beat by Army.
Wow.
And then it continues with a blowout loss on your home field to a Kentucky team. That's Jeff, not crap, but they're still Kentucky.
Jeff, we got less than a minute. Is there such thing as boob rehabilitation? Can we get a boob job on Jeremy Pruitt and turn him into a competent head coach, or is it a lost cause?
It is a lost cause, and we'll be hiring a coach in 2022. Thank you, guys.
G3 Help Me Hotline. Open.
I'm going to go grab a beer.
865-546-8200. Your number. Bears got the top four for more of your phone calls coming up. It's an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.